say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me Brown. No, no. Call me White. No. Oh, call me Black. Gardner, coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hespa, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 124 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. And when you go to iTunes, even if you don't subscribe there, pop over and rate us. Leave a short review. And it helps other people find. It puts us in better placement. The more reviews you get, the more stars you get, the better your placement in their whatever it is, and their algorithms, and it helps other people find us. You can check out Ramble Radio on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen on Spreaker, SpreaKer.com, and be sure to follow Ramble Radio on Spreaker, and now on Stitcher Radio. And you can check out Ramble Radio on YouTube, where I have some previous, you can have a peek at what I look at anyway. I have some previous episodes videoed and up. And you can follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. So how's everybody? How's everybody today? Apologies, it's been a few weeks since I've done the last one. I meant to do more. I had a couple of, I wanted to do one the weekend that BBC Sessions was released. But that didn't, it just didn't play that way. And I'll just tell you this. I'm training for a marathon. I'm going to run a marathon in a couple of 4 weeks, I guess. And it really, it drains your time. It's not just, well, when you do something like that, yeah, you have to decide. Coming out of Labor Day, the decision was made. If I'm going to do this, then, which I am doing it, it's been planned since last winter, really. It has to take priority over everything else. Everything else I do gets a backseat to this. So you're at the stage where you're running 5-6 hours a week. It's surprising how little free time you have in a week once you draw 5 or 6 hours out of it. And then on top of running as much as you are, it is tiring, and you sleep more. So, add kind of another maybe 3 hours a week of sleep, especially, if you do a long run on a day, you kind of take an extra hour and a half sleep that night. Okay, so first off, I'm having a technical. I have to apologize. This seems herky jerky. I'm having a technical here, and it keeps stopping on me. To pick up the thread where I left off, yeah, it just takes a lot of time in a week, and this kind of keeps getting bumped. That said, you're out running for kind of 5 hours a week, 6 hours a week. Remarkably, your mind wanders, and you think about stuff. So it's not like I haven't thought of the podcast, of this. And if I could actually record myself and talk coherently while running, I could get some podcasts in and, make the time fly a little better, maybe. But, so that's where it's at, and apologize for that. That's November 5th or 6th, about 4 weeks is the marathon. So if things run thin between now and then, that's why, and I apologize. But I will try to kind of keep up on things. Because there is stuff happening, and I'd like to be, I want to be involved in it, right? That said, I had the next couple of podcasts planned. And sometimes, procrastination or things not getting done can be a bit of a blessing. And I had the next couple of podcasts planned. Sort of, and in my mind, what I was going to do, not written out and whatnot. I have been working, by the way, on the next kind of scripted one. I hope it's going to be very interesting. But the next couple were built around, one was going to be the BBC Sessions, right? Because that came out, and I actually planned to buy it, listen to it, curl up that night and record one, and then I fell asleep instead. I never got back to it. So there's the renewed BBC Sessions. And then there is the Dateline, September September 28th, 1976 was the release of The Song Remains the Same. So I kind of decided this is a, well, we can combine these two. So this is, that would have been the next two podcasts, but probably as it's two Led Zeppelin live albums, probably makes for a very good one podcast where we can talk about both and do a little compare and contrast sort of thing. So I'm going to go that way instead. I did, you know, in my intro, things to listen for in my intro, if I refer to the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network, means I have very little planned other than a general idea. So I have very little planned, but we'll see where this goes. We'll talk it up and see where it goes. Now, the history is, this is kind of a lousy period in Led Zeppelin history, and y'all know why, right? On the 24th of September, going back 2 weeks now, the band began rehearsing for the 1980 tour that never happened, the North American tour. And the next day, John Bonham was found dead, age 32, found dead in Jimmy Page's bed, or in his bed at Jimmy Page's house, however you want to frame that. So that's 1980 on the 25th of September. And then on the 28th of September, 76, the song remains the same. I'm going to try and keep this a little tight. There's a few things in there. We go to the 4th of October in 1968, the first night of the UK club tour. 1968 this was, right? So they were actually the Yardbirds featuring Jimmy Page at that point. And they played in Newcastle. On the 5th of October, the third album was released in the UK. And then we're just going to really jump around. On the 10th of October... So the 5th of October is today. That was, so, 46 years ago, Led Zeppelin 3 was released. 5 days, well, you know, 5 days and a couple of years later, earlier later. October 10, 1969, the Paris Olympia show, the one that is the benefit, the bonus material show on the first album remasters that were released a couple of years ago. That's the Paris Olympia show. And then... October 10, 1980, 11 years to the day later, John Bonham's funeral was held in Worcestershire. You English people know what I mean. His headstone reads, "Cherished memories of a loving husband and father, John Henry Bonham, who died September 25th, 1980, age 32 years old. He will always be remembered in our hearts. Good night, my love. God bless." And we'll leave it there. How's that? It's so sad. The John Bonham death was so sad at the time, and is still looking back. And what this band maybe could have been in the '80s, who knows? And maybe, you know, maybe they do such damage to their legacy in the '80s that we're not here talking about them. But. I would take that. If it was John Bonham alive, I would take that, personally. All right, so there is news on the other end of things. There is news-ish. Came out about 2 weeks ago. Robert Plant is actually recording Sensational Space Shifters, and Robert Plant are in Wales recording another album. So when would you expect that? Next spring, maybe. Maybe in time for Christmas, but I doubt it. Plant also joined the We Are Not Afraid campaign. Longtime listeners here know I don't do politics of any way, shape, or form. So please take no implication of my judgment on this one way or another. I really, because you know, you can't say, whoa, good for Robert, or really, without offending half your audience one way or the other, and I'm not going to. So, the story from this, well, it was all over, and the We Are Not Afraid campaign kind of promoted, but Rolling Stone reports the story this way. Keith Richards, Robert Plant, Ringo Starr, Elvis Costello, Peter Gabriel, and over 174 more artists have lent their support to We Are Not Afraid, a global campaign aid raising funds for the refugee crisis victim of religious and political violence. There's mentions a bunch of other people, which centers around the song We Are Not Afraid by Nigerian singer Majak Fashek. On September 29th, a video for the track, directed by Kevin Godley, features images of 175 artists involved in the campaign holding signs declaring they are not afraid. All proceeds will be donated to the Human Rights Watch and International Rescue Committee, So it's basically, Godley, by the way, that's Kevin Godley from Godley and Cream and 10cc. And I believe if you check his history, he's got some history with the Yardbirds. Could be wrong on that, but I think he goes back that far. So it's a campaign to kind of say all Muslims are not terrorists, and to help with the again with refugees coming from Syria and that sort of, but it started after the London bombing in 2005 is when this kind of started, this campaign, this song. So it's got to do with terrorism and not looking at all Muslims as terrorism and that sort of thing. And has morphed into the refugee crisis and what do they call it, victims of religious and political violence. I will not comment one or the other. I will say this, however. Sometimes artists get involved in these things because it's good for the career, or because, I don't know. Sometimes they just think they know better than you on something, and that drives me crazy, personally. Agree with them or disagree with them, by the way, it drives me crazy. But there are exceptions to that kind of rule, where I think an artist getting involved in something is a little different than just... And so Robert Plant doing this might be an example, is an example of where there's kind of an exception to the rule. One exception, by the way, always is if you record an album about your political, your lovely political subject, and then all your fans have the option to say, nah, not interested, and speak with their money, right? But when you record an album of love songs and then go out on tour talking about whoever, whatever, I'm just not interested. drives me crazy. I'll give you an example. I said a long time ago with Robert Plant, after Hurricane Katrina kind of dropped, when the levee breaks, from his set list, he was doing it with A Strange Sensation. I wanted to say Sensational Space Shifters. He was doing it with Strange Sensation. And I kind of at the time and have since have said, instead of dropping it, it might have been a good time for him to do, talk about, donating, collect some money to raise money for Hurricane Katrina victims. And talk, and that kind of thing is, I'm less problem with that. If there's a particular charity that speaks to you, and you want to take 45 seconds out of your show to pimp for that charity, especially if you can relate it to a song in the show or something, I'm okay with that. And an example is Bruce Springsteen does that for food banks and has done it for years. He takes about 2 minutes and says, look, these people are in the audience. There's people hungry in your neighborhood. Please donate to, please give them something on your way out the door. I have less problem with that. No problems at all with that. There are instances when, if you want to include it that way, or if you want to write an album about whatever, about the refugee crisis, or if you want to do a movie about it with a particular political slant, then people can avoid your work. And you get to say your piece within your, that's fine. In Robert Plant's case here, though, he has recorded in Middle East. He has, he did that video where he went into the desert and seen the music festival, and it's all Muslim artists and that sort of thing. And they traveled to Morocco. His entire life, he has traveled into this part of the world, dealt with these people in various ways, including artistically, including having people from the Arab world on his albums and whatnot. and from the Middle East and what have you. So I think he comes to it a lot more honestly than others. How's that? I think it's not just a matter of lending his name. I think this is something he probably truly believes and has lived. You know, he's not, one of the criticisms of this sort of thing is these guys don't live in the same neighborhoods where, yeah, bring all the refugees to England, but, you know, they don't settle. Yoko Ono's one of the people. Believe me, no refugees are settling on the Upper West Side near the Dakota. So it's really easy to say, yeah, bring them in. They're not coming to your neighborhood. But Kai and Robert Plant's lived in their neighborhoods for a lot of his life. And he's, you know, so I think he comes to it a lot more honestly than some others might. Or a lot more thoughtfully. How's that? Maybe that's even a better word. So anyway, that's Robert Plant's doing that. And I'm going to try. I did not realize the video was already out. I missed it. I'm going to see if I can find the video sometime in the next couple of days. And it must be out there somewhere, right? And we'll I'll get it posted on Ramble on Radio on the Facebook page and that sort of thing. So do you see why I don't talk politics on this podcast? I'm so uncomfortable working politics. And even when I'm not trying not to talk politics, I get so uncomfortable with it. I don't think, you know, to use Bruce Springsteen as an example again, I love his music. I have no interest in what his politics are, one or the other. And you know, I've seen Ted Nugent a number of times way back in the 70s. And I just feel like, shut up, Ted. And so that's kind of two different sides of the spectrum. It's not a one side. It's not a just, don't tell me this. I don't want to hear either side of it. I don't assume that Bruce Springsteen or Ted Nugent have good information about politics that I don't have already. So it drives me bonkers. And so I'm tripping over myself not to do it here, you know, and we're in such a this isn't even a delicate subject, right? It's not like I'm bringing up Trump v. Clinton. Oh no, I just brought up Trump v. Clinton. So Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience going on tour again. Tour starts November 25th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. While you're there, check out the Sleepy Old Bethlehem. Check out the Martin Guitar Factory. I went down to Bethlehem about 2 years ago. I wandered down. Martin Guitar Factory was on my list. Had a week off, and nobody else in my life did. So I jumped in the car. It's about 6 hours down. It really is kind of a sleepy part of Pennsylvania. You know, I couldn't even find liquor. You know, you're going into the stores. What do you mean you don't sell beer here? Oh, okay. And the liquor store closes at 6, and it's a very sleepy part of the world. But nice, and I enjoyed it. That was just an aside. So yeah, it starts in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It works its way. Really, it's a East Coast, Midwest sort of thing. It goes as far south and west as South Dakota, Kansas City, Louisville, Kentucky. Far north is Madison, Wisconsin. Otherwise, you know, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Indiana, South Dakota, Missouri, Oklahoma, and finishing Wisconsin. So it's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it's maybe 15 or 20 shows. And if you go to jasonbonham.net, they have all the dates and stuff. So no border crossing, nothing up in Canada. Depending on the dates, maybe I'll make it to Bethlehem. Maybe I'll contact my buddy James Dillon and say, how about Bethlehem? Because nothing else, well, Detroit's close. Other than that, you know. Yeah, maybe Bethlehem be the one to do. Anyway, find my list. List of things. And finally, I think I mentioned this last time, Jeff Strawman's book is coming, Led Zepp Gear. Jeff kind of fell off the map for a little while. There was discussion going back a year and a half or so about having him on the show when the book came out. I will email him this week and see if I can get him on. He's shipping out hard copies as we speak, I believe. They should be, if you ordered it through his... you can do the ebooks through Amazon and iBooks, and it's basically just every guitar, amp, keyboard, drum that the guys in Led Zeppelin use in their careers. A description of, and but it's written in, it's not encyclopedic. It's written in storytelling style. That's my best description right now. In prose. It's written in prose, and by that I don't mean poem. It's written out properly, full paragraphs, and where he explains what each guitar is, or what each drum is, when it was used, when he got it, what happened to it, as far as we can tell. And the bit I read, going back a couple of years, I read the first 30 or so pages, and was quite intrigued and quite enjoyed it. So I'll try to get Jeff Strawman on, and we'll talk about the book. Okay, so it's time to talk BBC Sessions, the remastered version, and we'll slip into The Song Remains the Same there as well. Because in the 1970s, this is what you got. If you didn't live in Manhattan or Chicago, where they had bootlegs in the stores, I never saw a bootleg. And I did go to used record stores. I never saw a bootleg until the early 80s, when I found a cassette of Chicago 77. Destroyer is the name of the show, and it was a Maxell cassette. Whoever had it recorded the album to cassette, and Buddy was doing dub acrosses on his player and selling them for $25. I think it was 40 actually, which was cheap compared to what the albums would be, but I never saw the albums. And this was my hometown. Guy was doing this that I... So that was my first, and I got that, and I got a Springsteen one from the River Tour at the time. We're going to be getting into the late 80s when this happened. So before that, we had two live Led Zeppelins. Before you kind of stumbled across lots of bootlegs and stuff, and before... How the West Was Won came out, and obviously Celebration Day, what you had was these two, one official, one unofficial. The unofficial BBC sessions, they would play on the radio. Specifically, they would play the show from the Paris Cinema, which is in London, by the way, not in Paris, not the Paris Cinema. Paris, it's the Paris Cinema. In London, England, one of the things I don't like about this, and I bought the LPs, by the way, but people were wondering what I was getting. I went to the store to get, and I was planning on buying the box, the full box. It was 200 bills, 200 Canadian dollars, and actually. I had probably might have got it anyway, except the week before that, Bill came in and automatically took money from my account for the Podbean, the hosting of this. And I want to thank somebody dropped $75 in my PayPal account that week, and then the bill came in for Podbean like 3 days later. So that's basically what the $75 paid, but it's like $100 for the year. So they took another $25 out of my account. Which took me below with whatnot. I would have had enough for the box set, and I probably would have bought it. But the account that I use for this, I have a specific account that I use for this sort of thing. It was below the number. So now I'm going, what'll I do? Maybe I should get it. And I'm looking, and they had the 5 LP set for $125 and $25 for the CDs. So I decided instead of buying the big box, I would just buy the box set of the LPs and the CDs for my car. And that would be that. Maybe somewhere down the road I get the full box, but I don't even think I will do that. So I have the complete BB Sessions on CD and LP. I don't have it on the high def download. I think I'll live with that maybe. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I got, and that's kind of the why. It was just cheaper to do it the way I did it, and what I missed is our pal Dave Lewis, the show's pal Dave Lewis, did the notes, the concert notes for all the shows, for all the songs, and in the 64-page booklet, and I don't got the booklet. So that's what I missed out on. Believe me, I stood in front of the thing saying, is it worth like $50 to me to get that booklet? Because that was the price difference between what I was doing and the box set. And I kind of looked, is it worth $50 to me, that book? And I just decided it wasn't. You might have decided different, and I understand that too. Believe me, it was a decision. And if I went today, I might have decided differently. I don't know. So, it is basically, it is the BBC session that was released, whenever it was, 94. Except it has a bonus disc of other material. Frustratingly for me, they didn't take the Paris Cinema and turn it into one big concert. This is the concert from start to finish. Here's the whole thing. And then the other stuff, they kept it the way they did it. And then just added other songs. So we get a couple of songs from Paris Cinema in the middle of the third disc. Which doesn't enthuse me. And I understand when they did all the remasters, this is how they did them. So they kind of kept on that rote. But I would say when they re-released Song Remains the Same 10-ish years ago, if 6 or 10 years ago, they did a 4-LP box set that was the complete concert. And they did not just add a couple of songs on the extra songs that showed up, which is Heartbreaker, Black Dog, Misty Mountain Hop, and The Ocean, and Over the Hills and Far Away. They didn't just add an extra album on the end and say, they stuck it in the concert where it belongs. So you get, Rock and Roll, Celebration Day, Black Dog, Over the Hills, Far Away. Misty Mountain Hop, this is on record, by the way. Misty Mountain Hop, Since I've Been Loving You, The Ocean. Song Remains the Same, Rain Song. Side 4, No Quarter. Side 5 and 6, Days to Confuse, and Moby Dick. Side 7, Stairway to Heaven. Side 8, Heartbreaker, Whole Lot of Love. That's the Song Remains the Same show. And so they could have done it. They could have mixed them up, and that I found that frustrating. But you know what, I got an iPhone, I put it on the iPhone, and I just made a playlist. I actually just used iTunes, made a playlist called Paris Cinema, and oh, there it is. I have it. And that's worked fine for me. So may I recommend that. So that said, I'm gonna help you out here. Got your pens handy? Here's how it works. So really, the second disc, if you have the original set, is the Paris Cinema show in order. If you're waiting for this show, if you're looking at this one, I believe it is. I gotta look. Yeah. So record 3 and 4 on records, disc 2 on LP, or disc 2 on CD. Would be this show, the Paris Cinema show, with a couple of extras thrown in. I'll bring them to you. So from the fifth album, What Is and What Should Never Be, and Communication Breakdown. If you're on the CD, it's like in the middle of the CD. What Is and What Should Never Be. Not the first version of What Is and What Should Never Be, the second version. And the same for Communication Breakdown, the second version on the third disc, not the first version. If you're on the LP, it's the first two songs on side B. And they slide into, the end is Communication Breakdown, is the last song. What Is and What Should Never Be, for Whole Lot of Love. And otherwise, that's, you keep it in order for that show. And this is how it goes. Immigrant Song, Heartbreaker, Since I've Been Loving You, Black Dog, Days to Confuse, Stairway to Heaven, Going to California. That's the way. What Is and What Should Never Be, Whole Lot of Love, Thank You, and Communication Breakdown. I said, in the 70s, there were two shows we got. That was the other show. They played that in its completely, as they were special. Well, about every 6 months, a special Led Zeppelin presentation, and they would play it, and we would record it on our cassette decks, or I had it on 8-track at one point. Then years later, a buddy had it. We used to drive around in this car, and that would be the main, that and Bob Seger's Live Bullet actually would be the two things we would play the crap out of. So this was, you know, these two things were what we knew. And I mentioned the box set and the extra ones, but really we knew, you know, it was shocking to learn at some point that, oh, they played the Ocean live. Or you saw the song Remains the Same and you said, wait a minute, wait, he's playing Black Dog there. He's playing the Soul of Heartbreaker. When was that? That's not on the album. And didn't even kind of clue in that, oh, it's not a complete concert. Just thought the album was what he played. I'm shocked years later to discover they played the Ocean, Misty Mountain Hop, on so many of their, not just the Ocean, that show, but they played them for years. So it became, you know, we got a kind of a distorted view if you never got a chance to see Led Zeppelin as to who they were live. The Paris Theater shows all early stuff. Now, it was recorded before the fourth album, but the fourth album is in there. But we weren't hearing it until, you know, our side of the pond. I know in England it was released at the time, but we weren't really hearing it until the late 70s. So it was, how come they don't play Kashmir live? How come they don't play, you know, that sort of thing. You know, if we didn't have bootlegs, you didn't discover that. So anyway, but the two go very hand in hand and very nicely bookmark each other because they're a couple of years apart, those two shows. By the way, the sound in the BBC sessions is really quite good. Other than, you know, like the is it Sunshine Woman? Which is, you know, they pulled from a lousy source and they did what they could find. And there is some debate out in the ether, whether or not they got the best source possible, but they found what they could find. They used it. And when you're going into the archives like this, sometimes you have to accept lesser sources. Sometimes reality just plays a part in what you're doing. And I think that's the case here. So I will harp on that. But otherwise, they sound great. They really do sound good. Very lively. And man, what, the end of the day, what performances. Almost every one of them is a great performance. Whether they're jamming, and, you know, if you've never really listened to them do how many more times, you know, the kind of jamming they did on that. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at the thing going, oh, no, wait a minute, that's not on there. It is. They did it at the Playhouse Theater in 1969. It's on the end of the first disc, or the second LP. It's what a jam up it is. It's 11 minutes, 30 seconds, and they just have a great time doing it. Same with a whole lot of love on this, and it's apparently a shortened version, even still, but they did... I think the version I have somewhere has the crunch and stuff in it. And, you know, when I kind of tested the two, it didn't mesh. So, but yeah, it plants in good form in a lot of these, and just a good, their performances are great. And the same applies in Song Remains the Same. Performance-wise, they really were sharp in 73. And I've always loved Celebration Day, and years later, hearing all the other live versions, what's the best way to phrase this? It's a bit of a spotty song for them, which is to say, they quite often played it too fast for my ear. I'm not nuts on the recorded version of it. It's okay. But you hear it live, you kind of go, okay, I get what they're doing there. You know, it makes a little more sense. And but I just think the tempo at the Song Remains the Same show is perfect, and it becomes a lively, happy, bouncy song. as compared to, it gets too fast and it loses a bit of its poppiness, a bit of its bounce, a bit of its happiness, its sparkle. You know, he's saying, my, I'm so happy. And he sounds happy in the song, it's the same. He sounds like it's a celebration. Woohoo! You know, whereas if it gets too fast, you kind of lose that spark a bit. But you also, in both cases, get really sparkling performances of Whole Lotta Love. For instance, with the Elvis tribute built in. You get good Dazed and Confused-es. I think there's two. Yeah, there's two performances, Dazed and Confused, on the BBC sessions. Really nice performances. You know, one's 6:39, one's 18 minutes. Whereas in the song, it's the same. It runs over two LPs, so it's about 30 minutes. And a lot of that extra time is taken up with bow work, which is not necessarily best. It's an interesting effect. It's something he does interesting, and when you hear it for a couple of minutes in the BBC sessions, it makes a lot of sense. But when he starts dragging it on further and further and further later on in the career, and certainly the song makes the same, you hear more of the longer with the bow. It becomes, okay, hurry up. Okay, I've heard this. But I still, you know, the version of Dazed Confused on Song Remains the Same is still very vibrant and fabulous. And it's so dynamic. What they did there is such a dynamic song. And it really comes out in both albums. Stairway's interesting. Stairway on BBC sessions, of course, was before it was released, and it's kind of a tentative song, a bit plaintive maybe, whereas, you know, by 73, it's everybody's cheering, and, you know, there is discussion that through the years it became more anthemic in performance. And I think that's, you know, that's probably a little true. It's hard, really, the intro to be anthemic, but they did their best, I guess. But yeah, it's an interesting performance when you hear it on the BBC sessions, because it is Robert Plant still kind of trying to find it, and they're not sure how it's going to play to the audiences and stuff. Because you got to remember, it wasn't released yet. So overall, I'm going to wrap up here, but overall, I love both. They're both such excellent live albums, and believe me, in 76, when Song Remains the Same came out and we were listening to it, we're in the basement and go, oh, this is unbelievable. Listen to this guy play guitar. Or, you know, listen to this guy sing. He's unbelievable. You just got so into it, so wrapped up in some of those songs. And you're listening for the first time, you're really hearing something like Song Remains the Same. And you're thinking, wow, this is wow. It's so much going on. It was something really unique to us. Other bands did live albums and they kind of sounded a bit like themselves. Zeppelin really kind of stretched it a bit. It was great. And, you know, we loved it. We really did. It was so good. And it took, because, you know, Physical Graffiti and Presence would come out. Physical Graffiti's already out. Presence was coming out. And I still meet people who don't think those are quite as good as the first five albums. I disagree, but they weren't sitting as well with audiences as those first five albums did. And these, you know, Song Remains the Same covered the first five albums. So it was... we just loved it. And again, with the BBC session, same thing. We were hearing this going, this is so great. Just, wow, where did this come from? I actually thought the radios were playing a bootleg at one point, you know. But now we know better. Not really a bootleg, purchased, owned by the BBC, just. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Oh, I already said that, right? And I recommend both, of course. The song remains the same. If you can get your hand on the full set, the full concert, instead of just, because Black Dog and The Ocean, and you know, they're really, really solid performances. The Ocean is really fun performance. And again, you know, get the BBC sessions and add those songs into the Paris concert as a playlist. Make your own CD. And it's an excellent full-on concert, first song to last song concert. And you will enjoy it. That's it for Ramble On Radio episode 124. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. When you're in iTunes, leave a review. Leave a couple stars. It helps other people find us. Listen on Stitcher Radio and on Spreaker. And be sure to download it from I Am Brian Dammit on Podbean. And check us out on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio episode 124. Keep it coolin', babies.